Tomorrow is Election Day all across the country. And here in Idaho, we've got some major races and initiatives voters will be deciding on. Voice of State Public Radio political correspondent James Dawson is joining me live in studio to break down all of these races for us. Welcome, Jimmy.
Hey, nice to be here, Gemma.
Okay, let's start with one of the most talked about races. This is our gubernatorial race. And as we know, Governor Butch Otter did not seek re-election. So that opened the door for a new governor. And the two major candidates are current Lieutenant Governor Brad Little and former state legislator Paulette Jordan.
Yeah, this is the big one.
I mean,
like you mentioned, Governor Butch Otter is not seeking re-election. He's been there for three terms, 12 years. It's a significant amount of time, and a lot of people are paying attention to this race. So you have Lieutenant Governor Brad Little. He's the traditional conservative candidate in the traditional conservative state, right, of Idaho. 9 years as lieutenant governor, 8 years as a state senator. And then you have Paulette Jordan, who is a former state representative. If she wins, she'd be the first Native American governor and female governor of Idaho. And she's really running on this kind of hybrid progressive platform, which is interesting. You don't really see this in fairly conservative states like Idaho. I mean, she was there at the state legislature for 3 years. She beat her opponent, AJ Belukoff, pretty handily in the primary in May. I mean, by 18 points. And she is really getting the energy out among voters and supporters, too.
Right. And she's gotten a lot of national attention because she would be the first Native American governor in the United States, correct? If she was elected?
She would be. That's correct. Go ahead.
And what I was going to say, though, is because of that, because of the national attention, how do you think that's played out with potential voter engagement?
I think that it has everything to do with that. I mean, to be honest, yard signs don't vote. That's an old political campaign slogan, right? It's like you can always put enough yard signs in a bunch of people's yards, but they're not the ones who actually go out and cast a ballot. But I've seen a ton of Paulette Jordan signs in places that you wouldn't typically expect, whether they're pretty conservative areas, more rural areas. You know, I'm from Lewiston. I see plenty of them in North Central and Northern Idaho as well. And she's from Plummer up in Benoit County. She's also energized a lot of young voters, and volunteers have been all over the state. And these are people who really haven't been engaged for a lot of reasons in the political realm. Some might not have felt like a candidate in Idaho really represented their values or maybe their political ideology. I know a lot of people who are more progressive in Idaho, and that's a fairly, you know, smaller piece of the political sphere here. But they are just elated that someone has, you know, really spoken to them.
You know, you make a good point about the signs, because when I, you know, drive around and walk around, you know, certain areas in Ada County, I'm not surprised when I see certain political signs. You've been doing some traveling around the state. Like you said, you're from Lewiston, but you were also over in eastern Idaho recently. Did you see typical signs for support in those areas, or was any of it a bit surprising?
Sure. I mean, yeah, when I was in Idaho Falls, there were a decent amount of Paulette Jordan signs. Of course, you have Lieutenant Governor candidate Republican Janice McGeehan. That's her home turf. You saw a lot of those signs over there. A decent amount of Brad Little signs. But really, yes, you saw plenty of Paulette Jordan signs, a lot of yes on Proposition 2 signs as well. And that's something else that's kind of blanketed the state in terms of, you know, signage and really getting that message out there.
And one more question about the gubernatorial race before we move on. New ads still coming out over the weekend, less than, like, you know, at that point, what, 72 hours before Election Day. And you saw these ads.
Right. Lieutenant Governor Brad Little has released at least 5 new ads within the past few days. At least on YouTube, they were uploaded within 3 days. He had, let's see, one on education, one on jobs, two kind of getting his message out there. Hey, you know, I was born on an Idaho ranch. I'm from a ranching family. But then you had this attack ad on Paulette Jordan, the first half of which was very pro-Little. Hey, you know, this is what happened while I was lieutenant governor. But then you have this message that she voted against the recent Republican tax cuts in the Idaho legislature. And then it closed on the tagline, "She's with them, not you," with Hillary Clinton and President Obama pictures right next to her with her sandwiched in between. Mm.
I'm speaking with James Dawson, political reporter here at Boise State Public Radio News, where he's getting us updated on all of the statewide races on the ballot tomorrow. Let's quickly talk about CD1 and CD2. These are our congressional races. And right now we have one incumbent. That's it.
That's correct. Yeah. So for Congressional District 1, which is, Canyon County, most of western Idaho, and then up into the panhandle, that was where Congressman Raul Labrador represented for several years here in Idaho. And he decided not to run. He ran in the gubernatorial primary and lost to Brad Little in May. So you do have former state Republican lawmaker Russ Fulcher, who was the clear and away winner in the primary in May. And then you have Democrat Christina McNeil, who's a first-time candidate, but she's chairwoman of the Democratic Latino Caucus. And she's running on an actually fairly progressive platform as well, whereas Russ Fulcher is much more of your traditional staunch conservative person here. And that incumbent you mentioned in CD2, which, you know, kind of cuts Boise in half and then goes out to the eastern part of Idaho, that is represented by Republican Mike Simpson. He's been there for 20 years. And, I guess back in 2016, he kind of took aim at President Trump's style, but since then he's really agreed with him a lot on policy, and he's fairly influential too. He chairs the subcommittee that oversees the INL budget, and he's running against Democrat Aaron Swisher, who paints himself as more of this moderate. He's an economist. They're both touting they want to support INL. They also want to obviously create more jobs here in Idaho and really take advantage of this growth that we're seeing here.
But he's got a 20-year incumbent that he's up against.
That's right, and a 20-year popular incumbent in that instance, too.
Let's talk about the two propositions that are on the ballot. You mentioned Prop 2, and we'll get to that. But first, Proposition 1. This is the Save Idaho Horse Racing Initiative. And just give us some explanation on this one, Jimmy. And the reason why I say this is we have talked about this issue on the program quite a bit. And I seem to learn something new every single time we talk about this one.
Yeah, you and me both.
Right.
This is a fairly complicated issue just because the Idaho Attorney General's office says this is probably going to end up in a courtroom if it passes. So those who are pro Proposition 1, which would legalize historic horse racing terminals, that is essentially this game that's based on a parimutuel setting where bets are kind of pooled between people who, say I throw down a dollar, you throw down a dollar. You know, the pool is $2, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to a slot machine where it's just you versus the house. Parimutuel betting is allowed in Idaho under the Constitution, but the terminals look a lot like slot machines. They have spinning reels, whistles, sirens, you name it. And the Idaho Constitution does not allow simulation of casino games. And that's what anti-Prop 1 people are kind of, hanging their hat on. Now, this has been kind of legislated in a couple other states. These states did not have it in their Constitution, but they did have laws, Wyoming specifically, that you can't simulate casino games. Similar with Kentucky, Wyoming struck it down back in the early 2000s, and then the state legislature kind of said, hey, we do want these, so they created a new workaround for that. But a Kentucky judge just upheld historic horse racing last month, saying, no, this is parimutuel, it's totally fine.
And Proposition 2, this is Medicaid expansion, and this was a real grassroots effort. We're talking door-knocking across the state on this.
Yeah, absolutely. So with this, it would expand Medicaid to about 91,000 people, 62,000 of which are in the so-called Medicaid gap, make too much to qualify for Medicaid, too little to get a federal health insurance subsidy. And you're right. I mean, I followed door knockers, since January pretty much on this issue. And the energy and enthusiasm behind it is incredible. Now, opponents and detractors will say that, hey, this Washington, D.C. group did toss in $500,000 dollars to help pay for signature gatherers toward the end of the campaign, which is true. The campaign said it was, a very critical time and they needed that push to get over the edge. But still, a lot of people I talked to, including political science professors, say, doesn't matter. This is a grassroots effort, right? We have tons of people. I mean, I've seen hundreds, if not thousands, of people on lists ready to phone bank or go knock doors.
And it is becoming a much more bipartisan issue. We even saw that with, you know, former Representative Christy Perry, who is a Republican, being in favor of it, but also current Governor Butch Otter came out just last week, correct?
He did. It was, 6 days ago now? Mm-hmm. I'm losing track of days in my head, but that's okay. Yeah, he came out last Tuesday saying, yes, I support it. He called it an Idaho-grown solution and that it's something that people should consider. Now, he had tried to throw out a few different proposals to get at least some people covered under health insurance, but the state legislature would not move on it. Something else to note about Prop 2 is, even if it does pass, lawmakers can add restrictions to it. They can say, hey, you've got to, you know, work X amount of hours to qualify. You have to pay for copays or maybe even premiums. And that'll be up to the legislature should it pass.
And that will all happen come January if this passes.
Yep.
I want to thank you for coming in, James. It's going to be an interesting day tomorrow all across the state.
Absolutely. Thank you, Gemma.
And also remember to tune in to KBSX 91.5 beginning at 6 p.m. tomorrow morning. We will bring you live, local, and national coverage all night long as we wait for those polls to close and the results to come in. Again, James, thanks so much.